Welcome to Torah from JTS, a weekly commentary from the Jewish Theological Seminary.
This is Rabbi Brent Spodek of Beacon Hebrew Alliance and the Pardes Institute in Jerusalem with a commentary for Shalach Lecha, Mapping Our Love.
Moses had no idea what he was getting into. It wasn't just when he was talking to shrubbery and confronting tyrants at the beginning of his journey that he was in the dark about what his future held. Even deep into his leadership, even after he had weathered rebellion and despair, even after he had had personal encounters with the divine, he had no idea what was coming next. He was charged with taking these former slaves into the land of Israel, a place about which he knew nothing. Were there a lot of people in the land or just a few? Were they strong or weak? Were the towns open or fortified? And the soil, was it rich or poor? Moses had no idea what he was getting into, so he sent scouts to learn more and bring back a report with useful information. They went to see what was out there, and when they came back, they revealed not what was out there, but what was inside of them. Famously, they said of the people that they encountered, "We looked like grasshoppers to ourselves, and so we must have looked to them." Then two of the 12 spies, Joshua and Caleb, told the people a different story. "Don't worry," they said. "It's a great land flowing with milk and honey, and the people are our prey." They went to the same places as the other spies, saw the same things, yet told a very different story. As the medieval commentator known as the Ora Chaim points out, the 10 who said that the land is unattainable and the 2 who said that it is attainable both use the exact same data to justify their claims. Of course, the spies aren't responding to data. Nobody ever does. At least in human affairs, data is literally meaningless until we put it into context and map it against other things we know. We don't only contextualize new experiences and unfamiliar territory. We contextualize the people in our lives all day, every day, usually with no recognition that we are doing so. Consider, for instance, 91.49413 degrees north and 73.95838 degrees west. These are map coordinates, meaningless until our phone or some other device plots them against some pre-existing information, a map. Indeed, Google Maps can reveal that those are the coordinates of Bob's Corner Store, a great local deli in Beacon, New York. But Google Maps is not reality. Indeed, if I plot those exact same coordinates on a hiking map, it will reveal the trailhead that is there, but it won't tell me anything about the deli. Now, there is obviously such a thing as an incorrect map. No reasonable rendering of those longitude and latitude measurements could locate us in, say, the Sinai Peninsula. But both Google Maps and my trail map are accurate maps, at least at the time they were created. One highlights elements of the built landscape, the other highlights trails in the forest. Both are accurate, but they are clearly different and serve different purposes. Google Maps won't help us in the forest, and the trail map won't help us find tacos. Most of us map people more than we map terrain. We have experiences with our friends and loved ones and make sense of those experiences by fitting them into the maps that we carry in our brains. When we say that a person acted out of character, what we mean is they acted in a way that didn't fit with the map or pre-existing narrative that we had for them. We might lament our relative powerlessness to change the data of our lives on the things that really matter. The temperament of our spouse, the behavior of our children, the legacy of our parents. We can't change the geographic coordinates in which we find ourselves. However, we can shape the maps we use to make sense of our experience. The noted sociologist Brené Brown said, If I could give men and women in relationships and leaders and parents one hack, one trick, I would give them, quote, the story I'm telling. Basically, you're telling the other person your reading of the situation and simultaneously admitting that you know it can't be 100% accurate. How might our biblical tale be different if the spies came back from their scouting and described as simply as possible what they saw, and then said, the story I'm telling about the land is such and such? Now, unlike Moses' spies, we are both and simultaneously the navigator and the map maker. We can make choices about what we want to emphasize on the personal maps of our loved ones. Do we emphasize their strengths or their weaknesses? Do we rehearse the story of their flaws or the story of their grandeur? Do we see them as grasshoppers or as giants? Our biblical spies couldn't differentiate between the terrain and their map of the terrain. Most of them read their map in a negative fashion. Two of them read their map in a positive fashion. And none of them had the self-awareness or modesty to recognize that their interpretation of reality was not reality itself. In part because of their hubris, our biblical ancestors wandered in the desert for 40 years. We don't have to do that. We can recognize that the maps we use to make sense of our loved ones are just maps, not reality itself. Maps are absolutely vital. We would literally be lost in the woods without them. But some maps are simply inaccurate, and all maps get out of date eventually. We can be smarter than the spies and stop confusing the maps inside of us with the terrain outside of us. Knowing that different people necessarily have different maps might save us from wandering in relationships that are no more nourishing than the desert. Perhaps the next time we find ourselves in conflict with someone we love, we can have the wisdom and the courage to say, based on what I'm seeing, the story I'm telling is this. Then, if we're feeling very, very brave, we can ask, based on what you're seeing, what story are you telling? May we all be blessed with that courage, and may we all be blessed with friends and partners who share it.
If you enjoyed this program, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts, and discover JTS's other series by visiting jtsa.edu/podcasts. To learn with JTS faculty in live online classes, visit jtsa.edu/online. And you can get in touch with us by emailing onlinelearning@jtsa.edu. Thanks for listening.